Backseat Producers, episode 137, Shaolin Soccer. Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Daryl.
And this is David.
And we are the Backseat Producers.
All you people in the chat room who said that you've never seen the movie, that's okay. That's okay.
It is. It's a comedy.
We're talking about Shaolin Soccer tonight.
Oh, that's right. We should probably mention that.
But if you watch the movie, it's a lot more interesting conversation.
So,
maybe.
Next week, we're going to talk about Predator.
Yes.
Then Cashback.
Yes.
Then what was that?
Maybe an indie film called Hero Tomorrow.
Okay. That's fine. I have no other comment. I'm too busy watching Lost, trying to catch
up. Yes.
Oh my goodness, that was so good. I don't know because I'm still in season five.
He's getting there.
He's slogged it out through all those seasons. So incredibly excited after last night. I'm still riding the erection.
That's nice.
I'm riding my own erection.
I figured I'm 23 episodes behind at this point.
Okay.
With, what, like 8 episodes to go? I'll easily be caught up.
Yeah. I'll start
mid-April-ish.
Well, about, what are you doing, 2 episodes a night or so? Or
No, it's... I do it in fits and starts. I mean, Wednesdays I don't do any.
Okay.
Just because of the podcast. Generally... Tuesday, I don't because I'm probably watching whatever movie we're going to talk about on Wednesday, and then just doing 3 or 4 episodes a night, you know, because everybody in the house goes to bed at 10. Yeah. I'm normally up till about 2.
And with no commercials, there's only 40 minutes apiece. So.
Yeah, in 2 hours, I take out 3 episodes. Well, just over 2 hours, I take out 3 episodes, yeah. So. 3 episodes a night is actually not a bad pace. If I do too much more than that, I just
you lose track of it.
Yeah,
I mean, burned out.
The other day, I was sick and I stayed home and watched like 8 episodes.
Whoa, what a glutton!
But I mean, it was like I watched like 4 episodes, then took a 2-hour nap, then rolled back over and watched 3 or 4 more episodes.
Something really zen about that.
So, lots of penny in the season you were in.
Yeah.
Sonya Wilder is insanely hot.
She's cute.
She's the hottest chick on that show. I hate Kate. Kate looks like a dude to me.
I wouldn't go that far.
She has broad shoulders and manly hips.
That I would agree with.
All right.
She's got a cute face. I dig the freckles, though.
I don't dig the freckles.
I got a thing for freckles. That's me.
Try to think of some way to work this in, but I can't.
There's probably not.
Anyway, so enough Lost talk. Let's jump into the fun-filled, exciting action feel-good movie, Shaolin Soccer.
So, what did you think of it?
I hated it.
I know you did. Why?
It was simultaneously too ridiculous and not ridiculous enough. It's like, I saw that they were going for ridiculous, and there were some parts that were actually funny, but I think they were unintentionally funny. Like, if they were going to go for full-on ridiculous, I should have just gone Kung Fu Hustle. Ridiculous.
I have to ask this question. Which version of it did you watch?
I watched the subtitled version.
Okay, the U.S. theatrical subtitled version?
Yes.
Okay. And what about you?
I liked it. I enjoyed it. I laughed at it.
Oh, I'm talking about
which version? I watched the subtitled version.
Okay. Of the U.S. theatrical?
Yes.
Okay. And that's... I watched the subtitle version for like the first 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got bored of reading, and then I switched over to the dubbed version.
Oh, there were dubs.
There were dubs. Yes,
there's a dubbed version. It's on the same CD.
It's on the same disc. Yeah, you can
buy
it. I went to English dubs.
Man, because I was like, I've seen this movie before. I'm like, ah, God damn, I don't remember what happened in this movie. So I was like, damn, I wish there were dubs in this movie so I wouldn't have to watch it. Now, don't worry, I didn't really watch it that close. I was playing World of Warcraft while I was watching.
Yeah, I watched about the first 20 minutes, and I was like, God, this is interminable. I need the dubs because I just want to relax and enjoy the movie. I don't feel like reading anymore, and so I switched over. One thing I noticed,
yeah,
with the U.S. version, and it was pretty obvious how they made the U.S. version, they just computer animated English words on things, which I thought was hilarious.
No, but, well, I mean, they did it in the
really subs too.
They did it in the subs too.
Yeah.
Well, some of the signs, they pop up the translation of it.
Yeah, that's actually pretty common in most fan subbed anime too. Where it's like, it's just obviously, yeah, something's just pasted over the spot where the kanji are.
What was funny, though, is like there's a scene where there's stuff written on a brick wall and the brick wall collapses. You can see the words falling at a slightly different pace than the bricks are falling.
The CGI in this movie was abysmal.
It was really cheap. So somebody tapped their cousin who had 3 weeks of film school and dropped out and knew a little bit how to use...
It just got a pirated copy of Adobe After Effects.
Yeah. Because that's about the level of
the CGI is what I think was unintentionally funny about the movie. Like,
yeah,
they were going for a joke with the CGI, but I didn't find the joke funny. I found the awful execution of the joke hilarious. Yeah.
That I agree with you there. What are they talking about?
I don't know.
Well, listen to it this way. If you just want a simple bunch of slapstick laughs.
Oh, Chibi's in the room, so God only knows what they're talking about now. I think actually they're meshing Kung Fu Hustle and Alive.
That sounds right to me. So. I mean, come on. The bad guys in this movie are called Team Evil.
Yep.
That's awesome. All right, so you said you liked it.
Yeah. I mean, for just something, it's just a light comedy. I mean, there's no pretense of being greatness in this thing. No. This is essentially a Chinese B movie. Well, maybe a B minus, but if you like Kung Fu Hustle, you'll probably like this one too.
Yeah.
See, this is my problem, and since I don't think that there's much to talk about with this movie, I'm going to tangent into this weird thing.
Go ahead.
We got to fill an hour. You know what I'm saying? So,
because I agree, I don't know that there is a whole lot to talk about.
I have totally lost my ability to watch light comedies. It either needs to be like Hot Tub Time Machine, full on explicit comedy, or it needs to not be a comedy at all. Like I can't handle. Like, have you seen Couples Retreat?
Julie borrowed it from somebody. We've got it sitting right over there on the counter. I haven't watched it yet.
That movie wants to be so funny.
I've heard that. I've heard that it wants to be really funny, but it comes off more like a bunch of actors got together and were playing around in Hawaii and recorded it.
It's like a bunch of podcasters getting around on Skype.
Yeah, kind of like a bunch of podcasters sitting around a table talking with microphones and beer.
Yeah, only it wasn't funny.
Ooh. And we sometimes are.
The banana hammock scenes were funny. I mean... So that's probably us. We're like the equivalent of the banana hammock scenes.
Okay.
But like it either has to be full on like the upper tier crust of a
total Looney Tunes.
Yeah. Only I'm not
or,
big on the
or,
Looney Tunes
or stuff. Really, really hitch on a mental level too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was a few things in this that were funny at that level, but they were very few and far between.
Right here. Add a new drinking game rule. The movie isn't extreme enough for David. That is acceptable, I think.
I would go with that. That sounds like a good rule.
I don't know. I don't know why my tastes have changed as I've gotten older, but
it could be because you're podcasting too.
Well, it could be. We're watching a lot more movies.
We talk about movies and analyze them on a completely different level. I know there are some movies that Julie just doesn't want to talk about with me because I don't talk about them the way I used to. You know, before I started podcasting,
mm-hmm.
You know, a conversation about the movie. Hey, that was a good movie. Remember that scene? That was nice. Cool. Yeah. All right. I can't talk about a movie like that anymore. It's since doing this, we
you're looking more like a you're more looking at it like an analyst or a film editor than you are just a casual observer.
Yeah, it's hard for me to casually watch a movie
anymore. Well, that's a problem for everybody who watches a lot of movies. After a while, you begin to. It's hard to sit there and enjoy them because after a while you start picking them apart. Well, gee, that was a nice tracking shot that he did. Oh, a nice zoom in, close up, and you sit there and deconstruct the whole thing while you're watching it.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is and an you awful have a hard time
just enjoying it at a visceral level.
Yeah, I mean, there's been times where I've done that. We're watching a movie and I'll pause it, and I was like, "Oh my God, did you just see what they did there?" Just like, can we just watch the damn movie?
We have the opposite problem in my house. Like, we'll put the movie on, and then she has to get up and pee, like, three times. It's like, are you kidding? Can we not get through an hour and a half movie? God, come on. Because I hate starting and stopping. Mm. Anyway. So, the movie opens up.
Wait a minute. I liked it.
All right.
We never got to that point.
All right.
I enjoyed it. I had fun with it. I think it's a very light popcorn fare kind of movie. I thought that they tapped into some pop culture references in a cool way, but they were kind of few and far between. And where a movie like Hot Tub Time Machine or Clerks 2 or even Zack and Miri, where they have something in them that goes a little bit deeper than just the visceral comedy, there's a heart beneath them. This movie had a very clearly projected heart that it was trying to put on itself. And it was like it was projecting that too much for it to really matter.
Well, one thing also, you got to remember, this movie is made for a Chinese audience.
That's true.
And sometimes the humor doesn't translate 100%.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are not translate, and I mean,
and some of the cultural, it's also some of the cultural references and what they're focusing on may seem like kind of trivial to us, but it might resonate somewhat differently with a different audience. Family.
I'd like to think I've got my hand on the pulse of Asian culture. That's not actually true, but you're right. Like, everybody has a name. Like, I don't remember anybody's name. They all just have titles. Everybody has a title.
Well, no, they
That's
had
a very
had
Asian
name.
Culture thing. Well, I mean,
we know them.
Steel leg, and iron head,
and lightning
brother
hands
three or whatever. Yeah,
I mean, and it could be. You know, I didn't think of it in that respect. You know, I said that the pop culture references are few and far between. Perhaps if I had the cultural reference that the audiences was created for has the pop culture references, maybe a lot more widespread,
a lot more obvious,
and a lot more obvious. Where, yeah, I mean, the Thriller dance and. You know, yeah, there was a couple other ones that we'll get to along the way. But for me, they were obvious. And for, you know, I'm sure some people they'd be obvious. But I'm sure there was stuff in there that I just didn't pick up as a pop culture reference in an Asian culture.
To be fair, BSP has a bunch of titles, too. Fact Dude, Disagreement Guy, Jerk Face.
Wait a minute. I want to know who's who in that
Do
list.
We really want to here?
Wow, this was the most successful Hong Kong made movie ever in. This is the most successful Hong Kong made movie ever in Hong Kong, making Hong Kong 60 million, but 4.7 million US.
Well, that's not
4.7
bad.
4.7 million U.S. in Hong Kong.
I mean, that's only about a few hundred thousand people.
That's the amount of money it made in Hong Kong.
Oh.
Yeah, you gotta remember, impressive. Hong Kong is only a few hundred thousand people. I mean, it's a large city.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking, it's a city the size of, I mean, I don't even know what the size.
No, it's gotta be more than a few hundred thousand.
It's only a few hundred thousand.
It's not even a million? Their cities are weak.
Somebody look that up.
Well, I mean, it would be a parable about the size of St. Louis.
In the Italian version, all main characters are dubbed by professional soccer
I'm
players.
Telling you, we should watch.
That's hilarious.
We should watch Volcano High.
What is that?
I just remember the name. Volcano High, it's all Asian people, but when they brought it over to the United States, it's dubbed by, like, rappers. Stuff like that. It's so racist on two vectors.
Wow.
It's double racist. It's
hilarious. Ooh.
All right. So how do you want to do this? How was the acting?
The acting was cheesy.
The acting was awful. Just across the board. In fact, at the beginning, when that one guy kind of walks away and then turns into the older guy, I thought that was Jackie Chan. And I was like, that's Jackie Chan. And then
yeah, all the, I mean,
it was
all
obvious
the acting,
it wasn't. But
all the acting was playing. They were, I mean, they were playing really ham-fisted.
Yeah, it was just pretty ridiculous.
Just ridiculous. And I don't think they meant for it to be a seriously portrayed performance either.
And you can see it in the outtakes. They're having a hard time. At the end of the movie, they have the series of outtakes. And like they're having a hard time just delivering the lines themselves without breaking up.
Wow.
I can't tell Asians apart. I don't even know what that means. I know Tony doesn't look Asian. That's racist.
That might be a little racist.
Take a sip every time it isn't actually Jackie Chan. I'd already be dead. Alright, so The plot. So
okay, let's not step through the plot. The plot is a very simple plot.
Yeah, we've all seen it 100 times before.
So here we go. Alright, well, I'll pick apart the parts I thought were unintentionally funny. Okay. How about that? So, the movie opens up, do the golden leg thing, blah, blah, blah. It fast forwards to the future. His brother's walking through the building, and then Golden Leg comes out as an old man. And so, the way they present him in the first scene, I thought he had Down syndrome. And I was like, this movie is going to be terrible. It's going to be a bunch of monks.
Wow.
And it's going to be a retarded coach. And that's going to be the movie joke. And I was like,
that would almost be hilarious.
Almost?
That would. That actually would be hilarious.
So
that would be so wrong on so many levels.
But then it didn't. It was just the way they presented him. Just like, he was just an idiot, not retarded. I was like, oh, okay, all right. Let's back off of that. All right, continue.
You were the one talking.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Telling me to continue. All right, so the plot's very simple. In the past, the guy who now is the owner of Team Evil had made a promise to Ironhead.
No, Golden Leg.
Oh, Golden Leg. I'm sorry, Golden Leg. Yeah, to Golden Leg. That he would allow him to coach for Team Evil if he threw the game back then.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out he also paid the other team to mess
him
up his leg.
Yeah,
yeah, to break his leg, to cripple him basically.
Mm-hmm.
So now he says, "No, I'm not going to let you do that," and laughs him off. Mm-hmm. So the guy wants vengeance. It's a very simple plot. We meet. What name did he go by?
Steel Leg.
So it was Steel Leg. That's
it
what
was
I was
Steel
thinking.
Leg. Yeah,
Golden Steel, Leg and Steel Leg.
Steel Leg Sing.
Yes. So we meet Steel Leg, who is a firm believer in the power of
Kung Fu
and Shaolin Kung Fu, and they can be used for anything. This was one of the parts that I actually thought was pretty funny. Was his vision of how Kung Fu can be used for parking the car, for chopping the hedges.
Right, he brings up all these little visceral examples. Okay, example, a girl walking down the street slips on a banana peel, falls flat in her face, and he points out, well, say, if she knew how to do Kung Fu, she could recover from that and not injure herself. And then he goes off in the little visions there of, y'all, that guy lost his job because he was too clumsy, and this guy would have an easier time parking the car if she just did this. And he's got all these ideas of how Kung Fu could be applied to everyday life. Yeah. He has a big dream.
Yes, he does. He has a very big dream. And this is when he meets, what's her name?
Miri.
She's a screamer.
I saw that comment, yes.
Yeah,
and she is using Shaolin techniques to mix dough.
Mm-hmm.
Very creative little scene, which, that's where you see that the CGI that was originally in the film was better than the CGI they used to lay in the American English words into signs and notes and things like that.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Because I actually thought that CGI sequence was a lot more better. A lot more better.
Keep on sucking down that ouzo.
I need to. I'll start speaking correctly.
Or he'll speak Chinese, one of the two.
I might. I might just have to call Grungy Dan and make him do this.
So, that scene was all right. I don't know.
No, I mean, it sets up this big pseudo-relationship. And this is the part where I was talking about where I never felt that whole them falling in love thing that you know is inevitable because it's that kind of movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They start off that way.
Their relationship gets weird in the middle.
Well, she thought that it was love, and he's like, hey, I'm just impressed by your Shaolin techniques. Your kung fu is impressive. That's what gets me wood, not you so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, also, he's also got the idea, says, okay, kung fu will make you a better person.
Mm-hmm.
He's always into this betterment. He says, don't let your talents go to waste. That's kind of one of the little messages in here, that right. you don't waste your talents. I mean, one of when Singh is going to visit his brother, Ironhead, he's working in a club, and like the guy's basically scrubbing the floors and getting treated like crap. In fact, the funny scene there is every time the owner gets mad at him, he breaks a bottle over his head, and it doesn't really seem to faze him too much. But he also
that goofy scene where they break into song.
Yeah, no, that was so weird.
That was just so weird and random.
Yeah, the guy gets up and says, I'm so moved by this, your profession of her, your respect for this girl, that I'm going to break into song.
Well, there was the scene where he broke into song on the street when he first meets her. Mm-hmm. When he first meets her.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes through the explanation of how when he sees something he's passionate about, you know, he just has to react on it or he's going to explode. And then they do that whole fire in the eyeball thing.
The fire in the eyeball thing, like, just the fire happened so often. It's like all these people are on fire all the goddamn time.
Well, I think that's the idea. And then when the fire burns within them and suddenly it's expressing
when
itself.
When they broke into dance, and I recognized almost immediately that it was the Thriller dance, except they had, like,
Asianified.
Yeah. Yeah, they kung funked it up.
Kung funked it up.
Hey,
ooh, that's a new Tony.
One.
I don't know.
Tony's invented a new term.
I don't think that one's good enough. I don't think that one's going to cut it. It had hope. It had potential from here to here, but when it came out, it lost.
It was stained when it came out.
Well, anyway, he tries to go round up the other brothers to get them to form a team. Because that's essentially what Golden Leg wants to get done. He wants to put together... He recognizes somehow the potential of this guy. I mean, he can kick a beer can God knows how many miles and have it penetrate a concrete wall. So he says, maybe there's something to this stuff.
Do not pee on the wall.
Do not pee on wall.
Do not pee on a wall.
That's that wall, not this wall. Wow. Well, anyway, he's trying to round up the other brothers. Apparently, there's six of them. And they're all, of course, have varying degrees of success in their life. But all of them are kung fu masters.
Yes. And they all have different names.
Mm-hmm.
And different titles.
Different titles.
Well, they're different titles because of their different talent.
Right.
Ironhead. That's what I got.
Yep.
Ironhead.
Lightning Hands.
What was the big guy?
Lightweight.
Lightweight.
I thought it was Little... I don't remember.
No, I think it is Lightweight.
It is Lightweight. Of course, you know, the joke there, of course, we will refer to him something like that guy is tiny.
Right.
Right.
But of course, he has a little eating problem.
Mm-hmm. See, I watch this movie.
Mostly.
Briefly. So they have their first game and they lose. Which first game?
The first game with the street gang or the first real tournament
game?
Yeah.
Now Now, this actually follows a scene where the street gang wants to beat up Steel Leg.
Yes.
But he says that he promised his master that he would never use
Kung Fu for fighting.
So he uses it for soccer. And he beats the crap out of them with a soccer ball.
Yes.
Think human pinball machines.
Yes.
Them as the bumpers.
Yeah, they used a nice bit of wire work, and they used a lot of the Asian wire work,
yeah.
Kung Fu martial art movie kind of mm-hmm. stuff.
With all the flying the big leaps, and of course the pratfalls when somebody gets hit by a soccer ball going 1,000 miles an hour and it knocks them halfway across the street.
The wrench is for my day job. I need to make money. I always have to be prepared. That part was funny.
That was funny.
Do you notice how these guys play the game? These are some dangerous guys. Oh, come on. It's just a game of soccer. The wrench falls to the ground. Oh, I need that for my job.
I'm not a mechanic.
I think I missed midway through the game what happened, because they got their ass beat.
Yes.
And then that guy's like, take me to a doctor.
Well, he forces the one guy there, the leader, humiliates Ironhead so much that says the only way he could get to a doctor is he has to admit defeat and put his shorts on his head. And Ironhead does this to a point, and then he had enough. And his brother comes suddenly back to life because he's so enraged by the humiliation. And, of course, he pummels them with the soccer ball again. But instead of all running away, most of them decide, hey, we're going to... there's something to this. We want to stay and learn to be Shaolin soccer players. And that's the genesis of the Shaolin team.
Who's Amelia Fox? Because that looks really familiar.
Yeah, who is that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That is Cashback. All right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I read the IMDb trivia for that, too. And
okay.
All right. I love IMDb trivia. Shut up, Tony.
I read IMDb trivia frequently before movies, not recently.
So then they have their first game.
Yes.
Is it against the bearded women?
No, that's about midway.
Oh, my mistake.
That was the more interesting.
Oh, yeah. The first game was against just those random soccer guys who, like...
Yeah.
Like, they drop the ball, and the guy just immediately kicks in for a goal, and he's like, one. like 3 seconds or whatever.
And then after about half a dozen of them go in, he says, hey, stop. Let us have the ball. Like, oh, we're not even getting off the pitch here.
So it was like 40 to nothing or something like that. Then the next game is with the bearded women, right?
Right.
Which was funny.
Yeah, and they're a little tougher. And Mr. Hong keeps stacking the deck for the team by throwing more and more ridiculous teams at them.
Yes.
It's true. I don't have any to add to that.
Yeah, I mean, basically, this is the every sports movie, the team getting their series of victories that they need to
rack
up.
It's a montage.
The series of victories they need to rack up so that they can get placed in the final championship game.
It's a montage, and it was not done as effectively as it was in Kung Fu Hustle. Kung Fu Hustle, if you remember, what they had every time the time passed, they would have, like, the gangsters dancing, and then in the beginning there was only, like, two guys, and then there was, like, 10 guys. And
see, I don't remember. I need to see Kung Fu Hustle again. It's been a while.
50 guys? That was a clever way to... to represent the gang growing. And it didn't take much time, but these games were just obnoxiously long.
Until they get to the final one. Want to launch into essentially the final game? Or all the leave out all the sort of romance that goes along and the transformation of the girl? And
I mean,
claimed I had a mullet. I don't have a mullet.
No, you don't have a mullet.
No, because this hair...
You have a bob.
The hair in the front goes all the way down. Not actually a mullet. If this was... No, it's not actually a mullet.
It's more of a page boy.
It's more of a kick ass. Anyway.
Well, anyway, we get to our big final game, and Mr. Hong is getting a little worried about it. He tries to buy off Thing again with another bribe to throw the match, and promising him again, you know, okay, mm-hmm. your team can join mine, but this time Fong's a lot wiser, and he walks away from that deal, because his goal is to win this game. Well, yes. Team Evil we finally see.
And they're all roided up. Like black roids. That's just during the game where like they start to get the black aura around them. That was the best.
At one point this is toward the end of the game, but the one guy does some ridiculous move where he's like floating in the air for like 3 or 4 seconds. And this avatar of, like, a black dragon appears above and around him.
That was great. I also liked when they kicked the ball, and then it caught on fire, and then turned into a puma.
Yep.
A fire puma.
At one point, the ball is spinning, and it's spinning and rotating in the air like a, I don't know, the freaking stingray missile, the way they used to portray it.
Yes,
the corkscrewing. All the way through, getting faster as it flies.
Nice. And going through, and changing color as it is moving through the atmosphere. First red, then white, and then orange.
Hitting the guy, making his gloves and clothes shatter. And fall away with a shockwave that appears behind him, blowing the
camera crew away.
Yeah. Oh man, they were really creative with some of the stuff they did, especially in the last mm-hmm. in the last sequence.
Mm-hmm. And then Chick shows up.
Well, the first thing is though this team is starting to take its toll on them. They start losing players one by one.
The other team is brutal.
Yeah, I mean, there's no holes barred on this. At one point, Mr. Hong says, "Are we not?" Turns to his henchman and says, "Are they not brutal?" And then the henchman says, "No, they're not brutal enough." And then he says, "Be more brutal."
Yes.
And then the Team Evil cuts loose on them, and they start messing them up pretty bad. And then they're in for the fight of their lives. They know that this game's been rigged.
Yeah.
And then finally, the tragedy happens. The goalie gets zapped. Catching that ball and shattering all his clothes and everything, he's wasted.
Yeah.
The phone call, like, he sees them all gearing up, so he calls someone, and he's like, "I've been waiting to tell you this for years. I love you." And then it's like,
"It's wife.
Hey, I'm the husband." "Oh, well then tell your wife that for me." Oh, man. That was good.
Well, anyway, now we're down to the critical mass of team, and they've got to make... They don't have enough men to put on the field, and all of a sudden, who shows up? It's Miri. And she's got another makeover. She's shaved her head this time.
Yeah, she looks like Aang.
Yeah.
It's pretty ridiculous.
In fact, that's what he says. You look like E.T.
Yeah. All right, so... Yeah, so she gets out there, and she plays the role of goalie.
Right.
And she uses her...
Iron Mountain hand technique.
Yeah. Her
ridiculous
sweet
title.
Her sweet bun... Mixing technique. And before I mentioned where he had the avatar of the dragon,
mm-hmm.
she did that and had the avatar of the
yin yang symbol
as like the defensive symbol.
Well, that's just it. The fun thing about her technique is it isn't a brute force blocking attack.
No, it's
redirecting energy.
Right. Which I thought that was really clever how they tied in how she did that at the beginning with the pot
right.
full of the money. To how she moved
the soccer ball
and redirected it.
Because the guy really puts the windage on it that time, and it looks like it's going to kill her, and instead she just deflects it, and she's got it by the end of her deflection, got it spinning on her finger, and she starts amping it up some more, and then kicking it back out to them.
Some of the special effects on that were ridiculous, in that they actually took a lot of... They did a lot of detail in things like... when she was holding that ball spinning, her hair was flying all over the place.
Well, it's not her hair. It was all the debris. It was being vacuumed up off.
Yeah, her hair was whipping
she
around,
was
too.
She was didn't have any hair.
At that point, she had her hair back.
No, she was bald all the way through.
That's right. She was wearing a skull cap.
But nonetheless, the ball was vacuuming up all the debris off the field and wrapping itself around it like a big vacuum
cleaner. Yeah, I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah, so then he kicks and destroys the field.
Well, and the goalie and everything else.
Yeah, just blows the
goalie's clothes completely off and destroys the goal.
Yeah, we saw Asian ass.
Yes.
It was a split second, but it was there.
So now the big game has been won by the team. And even Mr. Hong takes a symbolic fall.
Yes.
He fall from grace, yeah, all the way down the stairs.
What deep filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the closing of the film, we have the what I thought was going to be the end, where they just kind of flash up the magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that he's been banned.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's been banned from sport,
sports, and... And
the Kung Fu couple.
The Kung Fu couple has gotten married, and
they're now making a tour of America, and they have dominated bowling.
Yes,
Kung Fu bowling.
And now we see his dream world that he lives in now,
mm-hmm.
where he's walking down the street, a woman, and it might have been the same woman,
mm-hmm.
slips on a banana peel, managed to catch herself and right herself. Yep. She looks at him, he looks at her, and they kind of give each other the, hey, that was a good move. And keep walking. The other woman parks her
car, by slamming
the kung fu techniques. One guy is chopping the
hedge trimmer. Yep, he's using now the swords to go over.
And all the businessmen are dancing in the courtyard.
Well, they're all doing their kung fu exercises.
Right. Yeah, they do their kung fu exercises. The bus that they're supposed to be getting on comes through, and they all manage to do ridiculous kung fu moves to get into the second layer of a double decker bus. As it's driving away. That sequence I thought was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. But he has his dream now.
You're looking disdainfully at it all, so I know.
I'm too cool for this movie.
Whatever.
I'm too cool for your feel-good like comedies.
Douche, 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 douche,
I hate feel-good movies.
You'll hate The Blind Side, then.
I suspected as much.
But that's where our story ends, with everybody seemingly gone off to bigger and better things.
To their just desserts. It was a fun movie.
Except all those Asians that had their penis fall off from the steroids they were using. That black aura, probably not good for...
Well, there was an interesting little dig there.
I'm sure there'd be some...
Well, there was an interesting little dig there.
Godzilla?
From Mr. Hong, as he's saying, he said, those American drugs have really done wonders for these guys. Went out of his way to say that.
Yeah.
All American sports are drug tainted.
Because the Asian black market has no
of course.
Reference to illicit drugs at
all.
Oh,
of course. They don't have such problems there.
Yeah. I got really nothing else to talk about.
No, I mean...
Only thing I can say for if you just want a Saturday afternoon popcorn movie, it's a rainy day, this is kind of a fun one to watch.
Yeah, I mean, honestly... With the exception of, and this movie's rated PG-13. I think the only reason it's even rated a PG-13 is because that last sequence where you see some dude's ass. I mean, and it's
I don't think you get ass for like PG-13.
I think you do.
I don't remember.
Well, there's also all the simulated fighting and some blood here and there. But
really,
the thing is, you could watch this thing with your kids and pretty much laugh all
thinking,
the way through.
I'm thinking to watch this with Holden sometime. He'll dig the kung fu. He'll dig the kung fu, and he'll be out on the trampoline trying to do all that same stuff.
Breaking his neck, yeah.
Yeah, mostly.
Tearing his ACL.
Hopefully not. He's in gymnastics now, so hopefully we're going to avoid some of that stuff. Teaching him how to do things the right way.
Teaching him how to fall down.
Yeah.
So if he slips on a banana peel, he can catch himself.
Naked ass.
Naked ass.
I mean, if you watch this movie with Kung Fu Hustle, there is a huge difference between them, because Kung Fu Hustle is a lot funnier.
Except Stephen Chow's in both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, Kung Fu Hustle is a lot funnier.
I need to see that again. It's been a long time since I've seen
it. Oh my god, that movie is funny.
All right.
I got nothing here.
I got nothing else.
All right, we're finished with this one.
We'll see you next week for Predator.